News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Determination for the issuance for a proposed recycling permit for crushing asphalt and concrete.
Carl, get with me after me. That's going to be a problem.
Understand? Yes.
A conditional use is a quasi-judicial hearing, so we'll need to make sure that we take up those issues at the 5:49.
So this is at the agenda review. That's the morning meeting when the Escambia County Commission decides what it's going to talk about in the evening. And you had Horace Jones, who's the planning department, basically get up there and say, look, we're going to do a hearing tonight on moving the Delta Concrete crushing facility from just south of I-10 on Old Palafox over to a spot on Burgess Road. We talked about this with Wes Moreno last week a little bit. Just east of the Mako there and on the south side, you know, not on the residential side, but on the south side of the street. And Lumen May, who wanted to just kind of cancel the hearing, and Allison Rogers, the attorney for the county, said, yeah, you can't just cancel it. It's a quasi-judicial, so it's not so easy to get rid of it. But then they kind of had this conversation between Lumen and Jeff Bergosh. Well, do you want to just get rid of it?
It's going to hold harsh. It's quasi-judicial. I mean, could we drop that item and bring it back? I mean, what would be the protocol for that?
We would need to do all the notice, public notice and advertisement over again, but that's certainly legal.
Okay.
Commissioner May, do you want to drop that? I mean, if we need to drop it, if there's something going on, I mean, I think we could do that.
I think that probably so, but I think that even dropping it now, we're probably going to have a lot of people show up tonight.
Okay, all right.
So, I mean, probably after tonight, I mean.
Anything in this vicinity, borrow pits, crushing, recycling, all of this stuff, as I predicted, brings a lot of people out who are concerned, especially in the new region. So in the night meeting, they went ahead with it. Jerry Maguire, no relation, is a guy with a JMA engineering, and he sat there to kind of explain what the new facility will do.
What we've got here tonight is a conditional use for the approval of a concrete and asphalt recycling facility. We've talked to a lot of people that have called in when the cards went out. It is not a concrete batch plant to make concrete. It is not an asphalt batch plant to make asphalt. What comes in is broken up concrete, broken up asphalt, is crushed, and it's sent right back out. So we're really basically a processing facility for asphalt and concrete. That's rubble. The old site, we were about 100 feet from the nearest house. We never had any complaints from the neighbors at that point over on North Palafox.
And the other side of the street is I-10, which they're doing a widening project to change the ramp configurations for that over the long haul. And so they're getting rid of this property. It's basically being eminent domained out. So they've got to move. And they, by the way, when they crush, they spray an enormous amount of water goes on to all of this to keep the particulates out of the air. They said they're going to stop operating if there's a 25-mile-an-hour wind. There's tree buffers all around. They own a lot of the surrounding property.
Jeff has bought a piece of property over on West Burgess. It's around some industrial complexes across the street of residential. Where we're setting up, the site is about 500 to 600 feet off of Burgess. To the nearest house is about 700 feet.
So 500 feet to the road and then another 200 feet past that to the north side where there are some homes. So a long way, actually farther away from homes than even the current facility. And as Jeff Godwin, the owner, says,
we've had trucks moving equipment in since December. And there's not been a problem until the postcards went out. When the postcards went out, everybody freaked out. But now, you know, we just need to educate everybody. We went from a 4.5-acre facility to a 10-acre facility. I've already secured everything else from Pinestead to Old Palafox to Burgess Road. I've already secured all that property to make sure we keep a buffer from everybody, to make sure nobody is inconvenienced, noise, in any aspect. There's not a health issue. This is just a processing facility. What comes in gets processed and goes right back out.
There you go. It's simple. He's got a lot of the property around the connecting area, south and east of there. You know, those are the streets he's referencing. And so he says, look, this is no problem. But you had a bunch of residents show up who were not necessarily against. You know, you remember when they were going to take over, they were going to basically operate next to the trailer park up there on Old Palafox. And the residents showed up terrified and angry and scared and, you know, they're going to destroy my home and it's going to be day and night operation. And they tried to explain that wasn't the case, but the commission said no to that one. And that would have been, if I remember correctly, quite a bit closer than this would be to anybody. And in this case, the residents were much more even-keeled. They were like, well, we just have some questions. We're not too comfortable with this. We're not sure what this would mean. And we feel like this got sprung on us last minute. So I'll tell you what Commissioner May, it's his district, said about this in just a moment. Before that, let's get traffic on the fives from Candy.
Not showing any slowdowns or delays right now. Looking at Milton, it looks like 90, not showing any problems at all. I-10, I-110 reporting as clear, not having any issues. I'm scenic under the curve on Cervantes into Mobile Highway. See an accident or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the conversation about moving the concrete recycling, which again is recycling. That means it makes it for use again instead of having to create brand new stuff. From the location on Old Palafox for Delta, right up next to the interstate, to a location on Burgess that's quite a bit away from any homes and on the south side of Burgess in a kind of industrial area. So Lumen May says,
so this is my district, and certainly there's no secret where I've been on landfills and concrete recycling. I've been pretty consistent. I do credit Jeff Godwin, I mean, for taking me to the site and showing me the site, and I think that, you know, it doesn't present itself as the problem that I've seen in most instances.
But you feel like there's a comma but coming, and there is a comma but coming.
But here's where I'm stuck, is that I'm elected by the residents, whether it's Kathleen Mills or Daryl Stewart or Jennifer or Charles Crosby and all those people. I'm elected to represent their wishes. And so, quite frankly, Jeff, I didn't see only one person completely opposed. I heard a bunch of people not being educated and don't know exactly the impact.
Yeah, and he's accurate. There weren't a lot of people who were just flat out opposed to it, but there were a lot of people who were just kind of unsure. Okay. And that uncertainty is why he was interested in, you know, hearing more about why this would need to be done.
Being in this elected position, the number one priority I have is the public safety of the citizens of Escambia County. Rather it be perceived or rather it be real, perception provides anxieties that can cause people, you know, other implications. And so if I ever err, I'm going to err on the side of safety.
And so he says, look, I'm going to protect people when there's uncertainty, but I'm not opposed to this. This doesn't look like it has a lot of the problems that other facilities or proposals have had, and this operator seems to be willing to educate me and maybe to other people, but he needs to do a better job of educating the surrounding citizens.
And so what I would propose to my colleagues, if I had to pass the gavel tonight, is, you know, to not reject this, but to postpone this and give Jeff an opportunity to meet and educate those citizens and to talk about it with staff to see if there's a resolution that everyone can feel safe with. I mean, when people tell me the first time they heard about it is a postcard, well, that's because we made the effort. And I think that as a vendor, as a provider, you know, that's one of the things I've said to everybody. Jeff, I've said that to you directly. Do the outreach and talk to the citizens, because I don't want it to be on Thursday night the first time the citizens have heard about this situation. And unfortunately, that's what I've heard tonight, and that's what I've directed staff.
Yeah, so he wants there to be a little bit more study by staff, and he wants the owner-operator to do a little bit better outreach to the local citizens and talk to them and you know, allay their concerns. And when it comes to a concrete-crushing facility, there's really two main issues. Number one is sound. Number two is dust, right? That's what they're worried about. And, you know, what will the sound and the dust be like at the perimeter of the property or in people's homes across the street 700 feet away, which is, I mean, 700 feet is actually, I mean, you know, two and a half football fields. You know, that's a significant distance. At the same time, as anyone who lives anywhere close to a railroad track will tell you, a loud noise a ways away, you still hear. You know, and that's the question, is how loud will it be? And also, will there be, you know, more or less significant amounts of silica dust up in the air? When they're wetting it down, the answer is very little, but and they're also promising to not do operations when the wind is blowing too hard. But those are questions worth answering. And so this is not an urgent need. Like, they didn't, this wasn't time sensitive. The, you know, the Delta facility on Palafox is not going away anytime soon. I was just looking at the work plan yesterday, and this is still a, you know, a ways off before they ever actually take possession of that land from them, at least my read of it is, but it's going to have to happen eventually. And we want recycling facilities. We want this kind of operation. They obviously do a brisk business for a reason. And so we want to find a new location for them. We just want to make sure it's a location that's not going to adversely harm. I think this was government well done, you know, generally speaking. I appreciate Lumen's reaction to the people who showed up. I think probably their concerns can be answered. When I look at that site, I think it's a site that makes a good sense for this kind of an operation. And I think you'll probably wind up seeing it approved in the future. But, you know, hey, we're not sure yet. Let's drag our feet a little bit and make sure before we do it. 621 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. I was having a conversation with Christina Leavenworth the other day, and it was about, you know, what kind of results realtors get. And, you know, she raised a point which I thought was a very interesting one, that on the MLS, there are about 3,000 agents registered here locally. About 3,000. She's one of them, okay? And when you look at how many homes those people sell in the first quarter of the year, okay, which is not a whole year, but it is the first quarter, half, actually a little bit more than half, 1,600 of them sold zero houses in the first quarter. Because the typical real estate agent sells like one or two a year. That's very normal to sell one or two a year. And then out of the ones who have sold multiple homes, 20 of them have sold more than 20 so far this year. Only 7 have sold more than 30. Christina's got 36 sold so far this year, and 29 more that are under contract right now. So just ask yourself the question when you're thinking about your real estate agent, would you rather have somebody represent you who sells a house a year, or would you rather have somebody represent you who sells 200-plus homes a year? And knows that process and knows what it takes and gets the job done and has, you know, that's a fair question to ask when you're thinking about who to hire as a realtor. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty. 723-9158.
Hey, Pensacola, it's Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we are celebrating. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary and winning the 2022 Best of the Bay Award. My dad, Louis Barbieri, started this company with a vision of providing the best service with honesty and integrity for the community. He also started the flat rate pricing system where you know exactly what the job will cost before the work is done, so there are no surprises. Now, 50 years later, his vision continues. At Barbieri Plumbing, we appreciate you putting your trust in us and voting us as 2022 Best of the Bay winner. We know you don't always need a plumber, but when you do, we appreciate your vote of confidence by choosing Barbieri Plumbing. Call Barbieri Plumbing 850-477-8782. That's 850-477-8782. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.
License number RF1106-7749.
Florida Blue invites you to spring into wellness this Saturday, 10 to 2 at your local Florida Blue Center on Airport and 9th Avenue. Enjoy spring giveaways while supplies last. Event is free and open to the public. You may still qualify for special enrollment if you've recently moved or gotten married or have a new job. An exclusive Florida Blue agent can tell you all the life events that qualify. Visit Florida Blue Center at 9th Avenue and Airport for more information.
Limit one gift per household while supplies last.
Choosing an early education program is one of the most important decisions a parent can make. Make the choice that is right for your child and your family. Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel and join Ms. Keani Richardson, the director and owner of the Navarre Montessori Academy, as she answers questions. That's today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Get your finances in order and become financially free with Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 1 to 4 after Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
You know, just as a practical matter, like, somebody has to sit in the corner. Just saying, you know, they can't all be center stage. Okay, if everybody thinks everybody's girlfriend ought to be center stage, I mean, it doesn't work practically. Not to raise the logical objection to...
Have you watched Dirty Dancing? She was put in the corner the whole time, outshined by her talentless sister. Do you want to hire a waffle? Don't Dirty Dancing me, McKay.
I love working you up.
That still burns my butt. I'm still mad.
6:25 on Instagram. And I can totally see the sister dancing right? When you're singing that. That's awesome. Tell them about the roads.
Oh, roads are fine. If we do you want to go on a... We're not showing any slowdowns or delays right now. That's good news. Fairfield clear all the way through. Not showing any problems on W, Pace, Pensacola. Down to the split at Pace, Pensacola, actually. That's fine, too, in Cervantes as well. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, 437-1620, text it in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Dancer.
don't put me in the corner. Actually, put me in the corner.
Put you in the corner. Dancer. That's a safer place for you,
I'm
sure.
A sister.
You know, somebody says here about the move to Burgess, road wear and traffic are also valid questions, although that's already true on Old Palafox, and Burgess is a very comparable road, but sure, that's a question. And somebody here says, I can't get that text up in time. Let's see. I don't know about this. Oh, what happens to all the water that they're using from the rock crushing facility? You know, where does that water go? And that was a question that came up. I'm not sure they gave a great answer to that. I didn't hear the answer. I'm sure there is one. You know, I just don't personally know what it is. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards says it's time to end the death penalty in his state. He gave his State of Louisiana address on Monday and urged legislators there to pass legislation ending the death penalty. He says it's too expensive and not a deterrent to crime. The White House denies they're trying to protect President Biden from the media by stopping him from answering questions. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre had to fend off that question Monday for the second time in a few days. Reporters had pointed out that the president hadn't had any formal press conferences scheduled. She says he's deviating from the norm of previous administrations.
Well, he's so good at press conferences that he doesn't want to make the press look bad by giving clear, lucid answers to all the questions that they give him that aren't on the pre-called upon list. I mean,
that's a very valid point.
Yeah,
absolutely. And today, the Writers Guild of America is voting on whether to go on strike. A strike could affect film and television production across the nation. 11,000 writers have until next Monday to cast their ballots and decide.
All right, we'll see what happens. David, thanks so much for the update. 6:28 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Did you happen to see the story about the leaked documents from the Pentagon related to the war in Ukraine and, you know, all very, very concerning documents that the Pentagon is obviously, you know, heightened level of concern about the disclosure of classified documents online. And here's, to me, what's interesting about this is it's another example of, like, kind of social media, but not the normal social media. We're not talking about Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or something like that. This is on Discord. Discord is a very popular platform for, you know, all my boys are, they use Discord to talk with their friends. And, you know, it's very common for people in college to use this. It's super popular with gamers. You know, it's very popular with gamers and incels. What does that mean? What's an incel? I've heard the word, but I can't lay hands on it at the
moment.
People
that are not voluntarily or incelibate because they are celibate. Guys that hate women.
Okay.
Some gamers.
Misogynists. Okay,
yeah,
I got
misogynist.
You.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. I'm like, I don't, I mean, I've heard about it. I don't know. So anyway, so Discord is used to, you know, share all kinds of information. And, you know, what my son, who likes to play, you know, military games a lot, he says one of the things he's run across is in some of the games that he plays, people get so into arguing over what the capabilities are of this plane or that tank. And sometimes it's people who either are or were in the military and have access to information that should not be shared publicly, but they will share it to prove that they're right, that they know what the specifications of the plane are. They can get in trouble for that. That's bad. But it's the same basic premise here, is that you have, you know, people leaking information online that they really shouldn't. So that's the source of it. The chat room that was posted has all been taken down now. But still, there are all kinds of ways that people get their information out, and for all kinds of reasons, of course. And some of them apparently were doctored before they were put out, so I don't know how accurate the information is. Anyway, we'll talk to Santa Rosa County Administrator coming up. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
Local students calling for the city to embrace sustainable Mardi Gras beads. More after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. A fifth victim has died following a shooting yesterday at a bank in Louisville, Kentucky. Police say the shooter, who's also dead, was a former employee who was live streaming the attack on social media. Interim Police Chief Jacqueline Gwynn Villarroel.
This should not continue to happen. Evil should not try to prevail and take over our city. And we let it happen.
A rookie cop is still in critical condition. In Nashville, cheers as the Nashville Metropolitan Council unanimously votes to send expelled Tennessee Democrat Justin Jones back to the state legislature. A separate vote will be held for Justin Pearson. President Biden formally terminating the COVID-19 national emergency before heading out to Belfast in Ireland today. It raises questions about the future of Title 42 and student loan litigation. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31. It's News Radio 92.3. Cloudy right now, 60 in Pensacola. Two local students want the city of Pensacola to embrace sustainable Mardi Gras beads.
We believe biodegradable beads should be required for all Mardi Gras bead throws. There are American-made and regional companies that produce biodegradable beads, and the environment will be helped and staff hours will be reduced.
Alana Milhouse-Smith and Jones Moore made a presentation to the city council at their agenda review yesterday. They say Pensacola has multiple parades and parties where plastic beads are thrown, and they say that causes hundreds of pounds of plastic to be cleaned up, putting a lot of stress on infrastructure of the city and its employees. There's no word yet if any of the council members plan on bringing legislation forward on that. A woman and a dog had to be rescued from a crash with a semi-truck on Highway 29 yesterday. It happened Monday morning at the intersection with Morris Avenue. FHP says the woman crashed into a semi that was pulling an empty trailer. Her dog was in the car with her as well. Both the woman and dog were trapped, had to be freed by firefighters. The woman was taken to the hospital. The dog picked up by animal control. Well, more Santa Rosa County residents will be getting internet access thanks to the state's broadband opportunity program.
Yesterday, Governor Ron DeSantis announced an additional $22 million that will enable 8 small and rural communities to have high-speed internet. Among those receiving awards includes unincorporated Allentown and Wallace near Chemuckla and Pace. The award is for over $3.35 million, and it will add 357 miles of fiber optic cable to the existing network. That will provide 2,355 unserved locations in Santa Rosa County with download and upload speeds of 1 gigabyte.
And that's News Radio's Joe Ford reporting. A middle school teacher in Leon County has now been fired and arrested for allegedly organizing student fights in the classroom. Angel Footman was arrested last week. Leon County deputies say she was setting up and then watching sixth grade girls fight in her classroom, and it was captured on video. Footman denies organizing the fights, but has reportedly admitted that she didn't stop or report the students for fighting. She's charged with delinquency of a minor and due to be arraigned in court next month. Footman was fired when these allegations came out last month. A district spokesman says that it's rare for the superintendent to fire a teacher immediately, but in this case, they say it was warranted. An informational meeting for artists that would like to submit a design for the new welcome sign on the Pensacola side of Three Mile Bridge has been scheduled for this week. That's going to happen Thursday morning at 9 o'clock in the Hagler Mason Conference Room at City Hall. The city says it's not a requirement to go to the meeting if you want to submit a design, but it will answer any questions that you might have regarding the project or the submission process. Mayor D.C. Reeves previously said the city was looking for either a 2D or a 3D design for that new sign, and the artist who's design is picked will be compensated for their work, although they haven't said exactly how much as of yet. It is 6:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Candy, what are you seeing?
No problems yet. Certainly watch your areas of not just congestion, like W and Fairfield, which is always seems like the longest light in the world, at least when we're driving in, but also areas of construction too, like I-10, I-110, specifically looks like near Scenic Highway. They're still doing construction in that area. Use caution wherever you are, as you know, 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text them in. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing a nice day today with temperatures warming up in the highs near 74 degrees, 10% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. As you go into Wednesday, rain chance will slowly increase with a 20% chance of rain, high near 75. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 65. For your Thursday, showers and thunderstorms likely, 80% chance of rain with a high near 72. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 60 and cloudy in Pensacola, 61 in Gulf Breeze, and 57 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. Walmart has filed a lawsuit against credit card partner Capital One and has requested the right to terminate their contract over their co-branded credit cards. Walmart is blaming the bank for its alleged failure to meet a number of contractual obligations. Walmart specifically pointed to alleged failures to meet some customer service standards included in the agreement five or more times in a rolling 12-month period and argued in its court filing it had the right to break off the Capital One deal. ExxonMobil has held talks with Pioneer Natural Resources about a possible acquisition of the fracking giant as the oil major hunts for a blockbuster deal in the shale patch. The Wall Street Journal notes that after posting record profits last year, Exxon is flush with cash and has been exploring options that could reshape a portion of the U.S. oil and gas industry while pushing Exxon deeper into West Texas shale. On Wall Street, futures indicating a little changed open after stocks ended mixed yesterday. That's Your Money Now.
Imagine it's the last ride, but your symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C are taking you for a ride. What should you do? Keep managing your constipation with belly pain the same old way? Or try getting ahead of your symptoms by talking to your doctor about treating it with Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine what could relief from IBS-C mean for you. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4. So you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
Looking for an affordable healthcare solution? Check out ProHealth. ProHealth's medical membership provides unlimited primary care visits with $0 copay, Teladoc, 24/7 virtual care access with $0 copay, minor emergency care, chronic disease management, 25% off lab work and procedures, free annual flu vaccine, free annual physical, free monthly B12 shot, and more for only $45 a month. No appointment needed. Just walk in one of their 7 locations. ProHealthFL.com. That's ProHealthFL.com.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Devan Cook is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Devan, welcome back to Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Thank you, Andrew.
Hey, good morning. Good to have you. So a couple of things that you guys were talking about yesterday. One was broadband funding, something that kind of drawing a contrast between how Escambia County moved forward with funding broadband and how Santa Rosa is moving forward, plus with the announcement that more funding was coming from the state yesterday, right?
Yes, that's correct. That announcement did come out even while we were in the meeting yesterday.
And so what is the approach? What is Santa Rosa County actually doing?
Well, we have already applied for funding for numerous sections of the county, particularly the northwest section of the county. And the item we took up yesterday was to continue that progress and service the northeastern part of the county. So we have one person who's working on this regularly in our grants department, and so it's really a holistic approach to cover the whole area and actually some underserved areas down in the central part of the county. There are actually a couple of areas that have limited access in the central part of the county. So, you know, we're approaching this from a standpoint that, you know, we want to go carefully and follow the guidance the state's given so we can maximize our funds we're going to receive.
No, that makes sense. And as you say, you know, kind of going along the way, it's Garcon Point is kind of the other area that's really getting attention, right? Am I right about that? That's the other in the central portion?
Yes, that's correct. Garcon Point area.
Because even though, you know, it's kind of a weird zone because it's great real estate, especially now with all the bridges open and operating at a low toll amount. But it's very underdeveloped in terms of how many houses you could have down there. So I understand why it might not be cost effective for companies to come in and privately do it. You also took up the question, or will take it up on Thursday, of political signs being limited on county property, not prevented, but at least regulated. Is that right?
That's correct. We had some issues in the last election where signs, candidates would put just numerous signs, like half a dozen of their signs in one location, and it just got very cluttered and problematic for us. We had people bringing trailers and large vehicles and parking them for extended periods. So this is just some rules that we worked with the supervisor of elections to be sure we were following all the campaign rules and not limiting anyone from putting a sign or not prohibiting anyone from putting a sign, but just being sure that we don't have a problem like we did last year with signs on our right-of-ways and in places that weren't appropriate.
And the way I think about this is, you know, when you guys have a meeting, okay, one approach would be to have the public not be allowed to talk at all. No political signs. One approach would be to have the public talk one at a time with a certain amount of time allotted to each one evenly so that they can all get their message out. One sign on the lot. Another approach would be to let anybody talk at any time as loud as they want, no matter who else is talking already, which is kind of the current situation. And that would be absolute pandemonium and chaos and of no productive value at all. And you're trying to avoid that same problem when it comes to political signs. Is that a fair analogy?
That's very fair.
Yeah. So, all right. One of the other things you guys were talking about was speed tables and also stop signs and trying to come up with rules for when these things get used or not used. Is that right? For speed control?
Yes. That's been something that's been an ongoing debate for many years. you know, can you use a stop sign at intersections for speed control through a certain area? And it's just not an effective way to control traffic. So we're looking at some options. We want to have some guidance. Again, we want the board to give staff guidance so we can be sure we're following their wishes and the policies they set. But this would give staff guidance on using stop signs for speed control or not. And an alternative is to use speed tables in an area where we're having problems with traffic.
Well, my understanding is that, like, stop signs, that's an intersection control. That's a crossing of traffic streams or pedestrians control. That's not really a speed control device. Is that the direction that the county is intending to go, is to kind of not use those as a substitute or surrogate for regular speed control?
That's part of the policy that the staff has recommended to the board, yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah, and of course, you guys know the problem is, you know, we build a road, we build a nice, straight, beautiful, open road that people feel comfortable driving 50 on, and then we say, drive 30 on it. and then we have to come back in and re-engineer the road to make it so they can't drive 50 on it in parts. And, you know, so the real issue is road design on the front end. But, you know, that's something that, like, the whole country is starting to grasp onto. We're talking to Devan Cook. Devan, hang on for just a second. I had one or two other ones I wanted to get to with you. Let's get Candy here with Traffic on the Fives.
This is brought to you by Lowe's. Debris in the roadway, it looks like, on I-110 between Fairfield and Brent in the southbound lanes. Careful there. And if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Devan Cook. Devan, I know one of the things that came up yesterday was a conversation about subdivisions, which, again, you and I have talked about this before, subdivisions that were built and then were, like, privately owned infrastructure, and then at some point in the future, they try to get the county to come in and take maintenance of those over, which involves all kinds of check marks and requirements and things you find out that maybe the developer didn't do right in the front end. This is a very complicated process because, of course, the county doesn't want to acquire distressed liability like bad infrastructure. I have the question that comes from a different angle. I heard one of the people talking yesterday about how, you know, they didn't even know that it was a private road to begin with. Why isn't that easier to find? And I'll put along with that, whether you're in an HOA or not, like, it seems to me that when you go look up a parcel almost on the property appraiser's website, like, it ought to tell you HOA, private road. You know, there's some, like, that ought to be easily accessible information. Why is that so hard to get?
Well, a lot of it, and from what we heard from the citizens yesterday on this particular subdivision, is it actually is in their contract or their agreement when they bought their parcel or bought their home. But I think one gentleman said it was on page 115.
Exactly.
A sentence. And so, you know, that's something, and I don't know that the county has any opportunity to control that, but you know, that's just something that citizens need to be mindful of when they're buying a parcel or a home. Is it a private road or is it a public road? And so, you know, I just caution them to research that. And some private subdivisions are fine. You know, they want their roads to be private. They want to maintain them. But when you get into a situation where the developer has not appropriately maintained them, then they look to the county, and that's when we have to go through the process of being sure they bring them up to standards through an MSBU or you know, on their own. In other words, we don't come in and bring them up to standards and then take them. The subdivision has to bring them up to standards before we'll consider them.
Yeah, no, agreed, and I agree with you. Do your work, but I don't know. It feels like both those questions: is the road public or private, and is the lot in and or not in an HOA? Ought to be very easy to find. That ought not to be something you have to work hard. You shouldn't have to read to page 120 to figure that out. And that's kind of what I was hoping. Maybe there would be some answer that, whether it's you guys or whether it's the property appraiser or somebody, ought to make that a little bit easier for people to figure out. Last thing is, you guys are taking up a couple of, like, support for or opposition for some bills that are working in Tallahassee. Now, there's hundreds, even thousands, but hundreds for sure, of bills filed every year. The county cannot vote on every bill, whether they like it or not. I mean, that's a silly approach. But one of them that you're looking at is the Visit Florida bill, which would take funding out of Santa Rosa bed tax in order to fund the state agency. Is that right?
That's correct. And we do try to monitor the bills as best we can. Staff does, and some of the commissioners do, or all the commissioners maybe. But, you know, you're right. We can't respond to everyone, but this one in particular, it's where they're wanting to take funding that we could use for other parts of our tourist development operation or our tourist area. And so the board is sending a letter. We're going to vote Thursday for us to send a letter saying that we object to that bill, that they shouldn't be taking the funding from the local government.
Yeah, and look, you know, I think that one is a perfect one for you guys to weigh in on, whether China should be able to buy property in Santa Rosa County. I know that's one Commissioner Calkins is interested in. I have no earthly idea why the county is expressing their opinion about this, but, you know, okay. You know, you work for the county commissioners, not the other way around. I understand that. Devan Cook, he is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Devan, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do. I certainly appreciate the work you do.
Thank you, Andrew. Y'all have a great day.
You bet. 6:50 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Hi, I'm Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. The Escambia County Sheriff Foundation will host their very first Cops, Cars, and Crawfish event Saturday from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock at Five Flags Speedway. We'll have crawfish plates, hamburgers, hot dogs, there will be a car show, and we'll show the movie Cars on our giant screen. So come on out to Five Flags Speedway Saturday and support the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation's Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. For more information, go to the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation Facebook page. See you there.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, Disco Kiss takes the stage. Don't miss Disco Kiss. Play the best songs from the biggest bands of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Bring a blanket or lawn chair, but please no pets or glass. And be sure to stop by the Cat Country tent. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3, 95.3, and on the AM dial at 1620.
National average for a gallon of gas, 360. Florida's 357, close on the heels there. Let's see. Arkansas is actually the better this morning at 318. California is the worst at 488. In Navarre, east and west of the Walmarts, 329. It's 332 up 87. If you get to the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, 326 at the Murphy there. In Gulf Breeze proper, 345 at the Exxon. In Milton, 331 at the CEFCO, same price in P Ridge at the Murphy, and 337 at the stations through Pace. In Pensacola, let's see, on 9 Mile, you've got the Walmart at 3033, 329 at the Murphy on US 29 coming in from the north end. Again, the Beacon or A store on Burgess and Old Palafox is 319, seems to be a good price. And then coming in from the southwest side, looks like 335. God, these prices are all terrible. No, 331 at the Navy Murphy station. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, Pete Moore Imports. com. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu reversing course on firing the nation's defense minister. 2 weeks ago, Netanyahu dismissed Yoav Gallant for speaking against sweeping judicial reforms that Gallant argued could harm their military. The firing triggered a massive wave of protests against the plan from Netanyahu and his political allies. On the heels of strikes by three of Rutgers University labor unions, now there's a fourth considering a strike. A strike already underway at the three main campuses of Rutgers, and about 10,000 of the university's faculty members walked off the job yesterday. Now a union representing another 2,500 facilities, residential, and dining services workers considering a strike pledge. And in the spirit of every day is a national day of something, today is National Pet Day across the U.S., So apparently pet owners are encouraged to give their cats extra catnip and their dogs extra treats today. Candy, that might break you.
I like how for the cats we give them drugs and for the dogs we give them food, right?
Yes.
No, that's accurate.
The way that goes.
That's what
the
they all like.
Cats just want food and sleep.
That's right. Yep. Like 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hogfest. Hogfest 2023 comes up. Pensacola Heart of Davidson. Saturday the 29th. $100 tickets. Good for two people. And an entry to draw down for a new Harley Davidson. Every child, a reader in Escambia and Pathways for Change are the beneficiaries of this. Find out more at newsradio923.com. Bands on the Beach tonight. Disco Kiss takes the stage. 7 o'clock at the Pavilion. And Shredathon. Shredathon 2023 is coming up April 22nd at the Fairgrounds from 8 to 11. 50 pounds maximum. That's basically, you know, two boxes or bags is what you're likely to be able to shred and take care of your concerning documents. 6:55, Candy's got traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by David's Catfish House. And taking a look, we really only see this one problem, debris in the roadway on I-110 between Fairfield and Brent. That is the southbound lanes. I understand some pieces of wood in the road. So caution there. Caution wherever you are. Traffic tips 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So you heard David mentioned this story. It's kind of a what? Just that's the sort of story that we've got. You've got a teacher here in Florida. You've actually got two weird teacher stories this morning.
Oh, that's right.
You know, two odd teacher stories this morning. One of which I think was no big deal and one of which I think was insane. The one I think is no big deal is a high school. Again, high school is the key here. Psychology teacher fired who gave an assignment to a high school class in Orlando. Write your own obituary. That's a very normal thing to do in that level of class, you know, to think about your life, what you want it to mean, what you will think about your life looking back when you're dead. The wrinkle here is apparently was on the same day as an active shooter drill. So maybe timing intentional, timing not intentional, timing unfortunate. Well, they fired the teacher who said, I don't care. I'm going to just find another job teaching and I'm not going to change my practice. That one, on the same day as the thing, you know, that's a concern maybe. But that to me is the kind of assignment like you want people to think about their lives and, you know, what will their life mean? And, you know, it's okay to think about your death. That's, you know, Christians ask you to think about your death all the time. Like, where do you want to go afterwards? Right. So that to me is I don't understand the uproar over that one particularly. The other one, however, you have a good Lord, Florida middle school teacher in Leon County arrested Friday for. Not exactly stopping, I think is the right way to say this, the fights that would break out in class, and while the fights were going on, would say things like, no screaming, stop pulling hair, 30 seconds, no yelling, no phones. Well, obviously we know the rule, she didn't teach them well enough.
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
You can't talk about Fight Club, man! Somebody leaked the information.
Was the teacher's name Robert Paulson?
No, the teacher's name here is Angel Footman, and
her name is not Robert Paulson.
Good Lord. All right, seriously? So she got fights breaking out in her classroom, and she, you know, in her defense is, well, I didn't start it. Okay. You know, probably just hadn't figured out a way to profit on it yet. So, wow, this is crazy. She did not organize the fights. But she didn't call for help or take action to stop them or report it to administrators or really do anything, you know. So, wow. Okay. They're just going to kind of leave that one out there, you know. Just I've dealt with middle schoolers. But no, you can't. Well, you know, she spelled that wrong. Did not, did too. All right, Thunderdome for the two of you. 6:58 on News Radio 92. That's right. Time for
Future News.
Future News. Will the other black lawmaker named Justin, the other brother Justin, in Tennessee, will he
Don't
get
say
reinstated?
It like that. And yes.
Oh, come on.
I know.
It's other brother Daryl.
I'm just trying to help you. I know.
But
it's
will
Newhart.
The other one get put back in after the first one was put back in? Yes.
Yes, this of course. I don't know why they were thrown out in the first
place.
They
were idiots.
Oh, their skin color.
Republicans were idiots about this. This is very. I don't say that it was racist, but it definitely looks racist. the Dalai Lama. Hey, suck my tongue, little boy.
Oh, my
Weirdest
gosh.
Story ever.
I thought that was The Onion. It wasn't.
No, that's a real story.
Yep.
Will he have to, I don't know, resign or anything like this? Or you can't really resign being the Dalai Lama.
I don't know. I just don't know why he asked.
Listen, I watched the video. As lurid as it sounds, it was really innocent and stupid and just like...
Sounds pretty lurid.
But it's not when you watch the video. It just looks like a dumb moment.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.